Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Wednesday, May 17th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's good to be with you on this Wednesday in the sixth week of Easter as we continue to celebrate the Easter season with the Ascension of the Lord coming up this Sunday in most dioceses across the U.S. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the stories that are making headlines on this Wednesday morning?
Abortion in the news in a couple of ways. We'll tell you more about that throughout the course of the morning. But in North Carolina, we have a rare override of a governor's veto. A Democratic governor there has vetoed an abortion ban. After 12 weeks, the Republican-controlled legislature overrode that veto. And so that will be the law, although it could be challenged in the Supreme Court, John.
Yes, indeed. And this law, which has been described as a common sense bill to protect babies from abortion, had actually lost the first two battles. But this time it was overridden with this supermajority. And it protects babies from abortions starting at 12 weeks. So for people who defend life, this is good news this morning.
Yes, it is absolutely good news. And we'll have more on ruling on mifepristone expected today as well.
Meanwhile, I understand that the phrase Taco Tuesday is in the news this morning.
You know, if you listen at all to the Patrick Madrid Show here on Relevant Radio, you might have had tacos yesterday. They celebrate Taco Tuesday in a big way. Maybe unaware, that's a copyrighted phrase by Taco John's for the past 34 years, and Taco Bell doesn't think that's fair. They think that everybody should have access to the phrase, let alone tacos. Their argument, the phrase should be freely available to all who make, sell, eat, and celebrate tacos. And
I think that sounds like they're a little bit jealous they didn't come with it first, Glenn, doesn't it? They want to make sure that they have the market share on that. I mean, there's so many, not to, you know, diss any taco place, but there's so many better places to get tacos than Taco Bell or Taco John's. I mean, I think when I was younger, there weren't that many, Mexican or Hispanic taco joints, authentic restaurants around. So that was pretty much all we had to choose from. And I really enjoyed that. And then I got a taste of the real stuff. And I don't know why you would ever want to go back unless it's really the middle of the night. And it's the only place that's open. But oftentimes there's taco trucks that are open late. So there's plenty of places to get those tacos. No matter where you want to go, Taco Tuesday is always good.
It's a fascinating argument by the Taco Bell folks. They're basically saying that imagine if you couldn't say things like what's up or brunch or words like chaos, that those would be trademarked. So, they're making their argument, and we will see how this all plays out, guys.
You guys got a favorite style or flavor of taco?
Beef and cheese. Beef and cheese taco is my favorite, and I actually prefer the real deal, like Sarah.
Well, you got to go with steak. I don't know. That is the top of the top. But if you're going to go to one of those fast food places like Taco Bell, I have to go with a chalupa or a double decker, because those are, like, to me, those are high end. You know, that chalupa shell, nothing's falling out of that chalupa shell. It's nice and thick. So I do like that. And, with the double decker, you get a little bit of crunch and a little bit of soft. So I do like that as well. But I don't like when stuff flies everywhere. So I like my soft shell.
All right, Sarah, more Taco Tuesday talk a little later in the show on this Wednesday morning. Thanks again. We start every show always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings. And we always pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On Wednesdays, I always take a brief moment to remind you to pray to Saint Joseph, the husband of our Blessed Mother Mary and the foster father of Jesus. Joseph is a powerful intercessor, so go to Joseph, the head of the Holy Family. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Morning Air Show. Our email, if you want to reach us directly, is morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, with all the good weather that is here already in many parts across our country, the media and many magazines just can't help themselves by talking about the perfect diet for our so-called summer body or how to prepare for our swimsuit body. You see it everywhere. It's hard to miss. Now, do you ever avoid swimming with your kids or being in photos that are taken during summer vacation because you're wearing a swimsuit? We're going to talk about that this morning. Joining us live is Catholic journalist and speaker Kate Wicker, Morning Air regular contributor, to talk about the so-called summer body and a positive body image. Kate is a wife, a mom of five kids, a bibliophile, a marathon runner, eating disorder survivor, and a perfectionist in recovery. She's also the author of Getting Past Perfect, How to Find Joy and Grace in the Messiness of Motherhood, and Weightless, Making Peace with Your Body. Kate is also the health columnist for Catholic Digest. Good morning, Kate. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It is great to be with you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Kate, first of all, tell us, is there such a thing as a summer body or a swimsuit body as the media and so many magazines would like us to think?
Yes, it's anyone who has a body that chooses to wear a swimsuit and enjoy summer. That gives you the right to a summer body and a swimsuit body. If you're going to go out there and enjoy this wonderful season, then you deserve to feel confident in it and not have to be scrupulous with every inch of your flesh. It's just, there's too much. Life's too short for that, and there's so many things you could devote your energy to, your prayer life, so many other things, rather than scrutinizing your body.
And obviously, this is something that you've thought about and have talked about and have written about over the years, having dealt with your eating disorder situation.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I've always said that when you have had an eating disorder, it's kind of like a pebble in your shoe. It's something that I haven't probably ever been able to completely shake. And sometimes I notice it and it's kind of irritable and annoying, but I don't let it pierce my foot or give me blisters. I'm very much more aware of the negative things that we can so easily say and how widespread it is. My girls' high school just sent out the Dove does the Dove body soap. They do a campaign for body positivity, and it was just a heartbreaking video about a girl and how social media, a young girl, was a true story. And they used family footage of when she was little, and they were playing it to that song, "You Are So Beautiful to Me," and how she just had so much confidence. And then they juxtaposed it with the more exposure to social media she had and how her vision of herself just started to change. So there's so many toxic messages out there about beauty and our bodies, but there's also a beautiful message from our church that is totally in contrast to what we see on social media and in media, that says that your body is an instrument to do God's will, and it's the only vehicle you have to carry out to have carry your soul and to carry out God's mission for you. And there are bodies that come in all different shapes and sizes. And I think so often what is our sort of natural biological shape, we fight it. And I remember I had a really good friend who went on this huge diet in college and just kept trying to lose a certain amount of weight because she just didn't like her bone structure of her legs. And she was never going to be able to change the way her ankles were. It didn't matter how much weight she lost. And so I think a lot of people are just at war with their body. And what makes me so, so sad is the amount of time that they spend trying to correct themselves, to diet, to think about food, to think about all these things that don't really have any eternal value. They could be devoting to praying and serving others and stepping away from the mirror and stepping into life. You know, as mothers, I think it's really sad if we, I've been guilty of this, where we say, oh, no, I don't need to be in the picture. Just take a picture of my kids. But, you know, our kids years from now are going to want us in the picture. And what's funny is we think a lot of times it's about our bodies and about how they look. But, you know, there's so many people who will say, oh, my gosh, I thought I was so gross then and I look so good. So it's not really about reality. It's about something that we're trying to control and not feeling good enough and worthy enough. When we are all beloved children of God, and that's where we should get our worth. And we are not human bodies. We are human beings, and we have dignity just because we are.
How do we tell our children and loved ones that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul teaches us, and as our faith teaches us?
I think that we just have to really, really just reiterate it over and over that this temple of the Holy Spirit, yes, it needs to be taken care of. I kind of back to the whole instrument analogy. You know, if you had a guitar that was important to you or a violin or whatever, of course you would take care of it and, you know, not want it to get a bunch of dings or whatever, but you wouldn't, you want it to do that because you want it to play beautiful music, not because you want it to, you know, be this object that everybody stares at. You want it for the music, to play the good music. And the same is true with our bodies. They're not objects, they're instruments, and we have to take care of them so they can bring the best music to the world and be the best temples of the Holy Spirit. And obviously, the flesh matters. God took on flesh. But I think that in the society we live in, it's so much more likely that we are tempted to spend way too much time on that and not focus on the right things. And so we really need to practice temperance. It's so hard to find someone who's never been on a diet. A few years ago, actually, someone once asked me, they said, gosh, you have 5 kids, and, you know, how do you stay in shape and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? I don't diet. I've never dieted except when I had my eating disorder. I eat what I want. I listen to my body. I exercise for the joy of it. I just had a great track workout this morning, and I was probably one of the slowest ones out there because it's with a racing team, but I had fun. And someone said, oh, I love your smile on your face. So if we can just turn everything into like gratitude, like I'm so thankful that I can do this joyful movement, whether it's gardening or walking or playing with your grandkids, whatever, and just be grateful for it and grateful that we do have these bodies that are capable. You know, I often, when I find myself tempted to complain, I think about someone who has cancer or someone who has a disability, and that they have all these, they are not able to do all these things that I can do. And yet here I am, you know, wishing that this was smaller or this was bigger or whatever. And we just have to shift our focus and try and not even make bodies a part of our conversation. Like I try to never comment on somebody's body, good or bad, and just more comment on the person that they are. I think that's a good way too to teach our children that it's the soul and what's inside that person that matters more than what they look like. And for our children, if you can fight the social media and really, there's actually a pledge online called Wait Until Eighth Grade. With all of my children, I waited until high school to give them access to social media. And that might seem like, for some people, well, isn't that a no-brainer? But you wouldn't believe how many elementary school kids already have access to it. And just the amount of research that's showing how it gives depression, anxiety, body image problems, not just with women, with young men too, the more they're exposed to it. And I think if you wait long enough, that they have the tools to kind of have more media literacy. You know, it still could affect them, but they're going to have more tools in their toolbox to kind of fight this constant barrage of airbrushed images and people talking about fitness constantly or whatever it is.
I'm so glad that you refer to it as airbrushed images, because these kids, and even that goes for adults as well, don't even realize that nobody really looks like some of these photos that we see, you know, in Sports Illustrated or in online. They're not real. And so the expectations are unrealistic. And this is affecting, obviously, girls, but this, and even young boys, even yes. athletes who are worried about, you know, am I too fat? Am I too skinny?
Yep. I know, it's crazy. And the amount of filters now that people can do, and I personally don't like the whole hyper-filtered look, but a lot of young girls do. They want, you know, this look, and it's a filter. Like, I've played around with them just to see, and it's crazy how I could make myself look. I mean, so much younger, brighter blue eyes, fuller lips, no more wrinkles, you know, and I could do that and create this online persona that isn't me. So, and even if someone doesn't use filters, they might take so many pictures until they get the right one. So it's just not representative of how we are as people. And I just love the diversity of people. Sometimes during communion, I should be focused on something else, but I think this is a God thing, is I'll just look at all the different people walking up and think, look at this whole diversity, and we're all here together for the same purpose. And to me, that is just a beautiful thing.
It's just like God created many, many different types of flowers. Same thing with people. Kate, great conversation. As always, really appreciate you being with us. I think this is something that we have to have the proper perspective about. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Many blessings to you. Kate Wicker, author, speaker, marathon runner, and health columnist for Catholic Digest, as well as a Morning Air contributor. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to go live to the Vatican for our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona, who will have the latest news on the Holy Father, Pope Francis. So stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on this Wednesday edition on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing Rome to home, this is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday in the sixth week of Easter. And now, indeed, it is time to bring Rome to home for the latest news from the Vatican. We go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project in Rome, where they take people from knowing their faith to setting their hearts on fire with talks, tours, and spiritual direction, all centered on scripture, art, and beauty. They even have a special track to evangelize young adults. Visit truthandbeautyproject.com to find out how you can make your life a masterpiece in just 1 week with John and Ashley in Rome. Good morning, Ashley. Buona Pasqua. Thanks so much for joining us once again from beautiful Bella Roma.
Yes, John, let's say Buona Pasqua while we still can. Buona Pasqua to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I am learning little by little, learning a little Italian, Ashley. Because the season is down the stretch here. We only have less than a couple of weeks to go. So we definitely can continue to say Happy Easter. Ashley, what was the main theme of Pope Francis at his Wednesday general audience this morning? And I see that it was outdoors in St. Peter's Square.
Yes, exactly. We've had lots of rain lately, but nevertheless, it was outdoors today, even if it was a little bit damp. And today, the Holy Father spoke about apostolic zeal. He, of course, has been continuing his catechesis on that topic. And he spoke today about St. Francis Xavier and other missionaries. So he's been moving along with the theme of looking at figures who really personify apostolic zeal. So talking about his fellow Jesuit, St. Francis Xavier, Pope Francis today said that St. Francis is rightly considered the greatest missionary of modern times. And he said that the strength was that drove St. Francis Xavier to those furthest frontiers was his love for Christ. And that was despite constant toil, constant danger, overcoming setbacks and disappointments and discouragement. But nevertheless, it was the Lord who gave him consolation, and he received a joy knowing he was following the Lord and he was serving Jesus to the end. Now, the Pope also noted St. Francis Xavier's intense activity for the poor and the sick and for children. And he said that the reason that he was able to do that is because his work was always united with prayer. And that is what kept him in union with God. And so today the Holy Father highlighted how St. Francis Xavier's closeness to Christ gave him that strength because he never left prayer and because he knew that his strength could only come from prayer. So today the Pope thanked all missionaries, all those who continue to dedicate themselves to helping others, to all those who are inspired by the faith, inspired by their love of Christ. And he looked especially at courage, that virtue of courage that you see in missionaries. And even though today they're not going out on ships, they're not going by foot, but they're going on airplanes, he said they still have a strength and a courage to go out. He also noted that there are hidden missionaries in the world. So these are those who are doing their work very quietly. And Pope Francis said oftentimes they're doing even more than St. Francis Xavier. And today the Pope also praised, he's called many, many priests and lay people and sisters who go to the missions, who are ready to endure hardships and dangers and to go to lands of unknown cultures and languages. But he said what all missionaries have in common is this drive from the desire to make Jesus Christ and his gospel known. And he also recommended today that all read St. Francis Xavier's letters that he wrote along his journey. He said that these were very inspirational. And in fact, he quoted a particular letter from the 20th of January, 1548. And I'll read it for you. He says, "Dangers and sufferings accepted voluntarily and solely for the love and service of God our Lord are treasures rich in spiritual consolations. Here in a few years, one could lose one's eyes from too many tears of joy." It's such a beautiful thought. And he wrote that while he was in Goa. And I have to tell you, John, that my husband, John, and I have a special gratitude to the great St. Francis Xavier, this great missionary, because it was he who would have baptized the ancestors of my husband, John, in Goa. And so we actually attribute the Catholic faith of John's family to the great St. Francis Xavier. And right here in Rome, in the Church of the Il Gesù, which is under the auspices of the Jesuits, is the arm of St. Francis Xavier. And it's called the arm that baptized thousands. And it's referring to one of St. Francis Xavier's writings in one of his letters, talking about the incalculable numbers of people that he was baptizing. So on this day, we all can certainly pray to have that kind of zeal ignited in our hearts, where we go out purely for love of the Lord to share the good news with anyone that the Lord crosses our path.
And Ashley, the Holy Father obviously has a passion for talking about this zeal, this apostolic zeal that he is telling us about this morning in the great St. Francis Xavier. St. Francis Xavier really was walking in the footsteps of other greats, mm-hmm. like St. Paul and even St. Patrick, who brought the faith to Ireland and so many others. And so these are great examples for us, just what one person can make such a huge difference in this world.
It's so true. And, you know, St. Francis Xavier, of course, did what he did because he became friends with St. Ignatius of Loyola while he was in college. And it was St. Ignatius of Loyola who really helped him, led him to have this profound spiritual experience with the Lord. And then eventually St. Francis Xavier became part of the Jesuits. And so it also goes to show the beauty of holy friendships and how this apostolic zeal can be promoted amongst us if we surround ourselves by other people who are seeking holiness, and that knowing that, you know, iron sharpens iron, and we all have the opportunity to help each other grow closer to the Lord and to achieve this same kind of courage and zeal.
Well, it's a fantastic message by the Holy Father this morning, and we need to listen to his example and his teachings, because every one of us, you know, we may not be called to be a St. Francis Xavier, but every one of us can share the faith and our Lord with whoever we run into.
Yes, exactly. It's like Pope Francis spoke about today, the existence of quiet missionaries, those who are doing their work. We will never know their names. We'll never know exactly what the Lord has called them to do, but we will all be part of experiencing the fruit that they deliver to the world. So in our own ways, we are just called to continue to listen to the way the Lord is calling each of us to exhibit that form of apostolic zeal in whatever form it may take.
And meanwhile, there's a new Vatican-approved program to spiritually adopt a teen who's in need of prayers and spiritual support. Can you tell us a little bit about that program?
Yes, it's called PrayForTeens.org. So it's pray, then the number 4, teens.org. And this was started by a married couple in Poland. They learned more about the rates, these high rates of depression and suicide attempts among adolescents around the world. And sadly, a friend's son took his own life. And so this began the process for this couple in prayer, where they began to understand the importance of spiritually adopting these teens who were in need. Now, they were inspired by that idea of spiritual adoption of an unborn baby. So you may be familiar with this, where people will adopt an unknown unborn baby, praying for that baby to be saved from abortion.
Bishop Sheen used to promote that years ago. I do remember that.
Exactly. So that was their inspiration. And so with that inspiration, they started this website, PrayForTeens.org, where teens can go on themselves and they can sign themselves up and ask for prayers. It is all anonymous. And then others can go on and sign up and commit to pray. And for those who do put their names in, for the teens who do put their names, you can pray specifically by name. And they also mentioned that, you know, if you are praying for a particular name, there's a chance that there's many young people with that name who need those prayers out there. So the couple, this Polish couple, has come to Rome. They met with Pope Francis for 2 hours to share this initiative. He gave his blessing on the program. They're going to be heading to World Youth Day in August to share this with as many young people as they can. Currently, the initiative is in 4 languages, in Polish, English, Italian, and Ukrainian. So that again is PrayForTeens.org, with the number 4 in there. It's pray, number 4, teens.org.
It looks like a fantastic apostolate. Actually, I'm on their website, and indeed it is available in English. Pray, the number 4, teens.org. And, you know, there's so much out there and so much information about teens, especially since the pandemic, that have been going through tough times, feeling so isolated, so lonely. And so this is it's wonderful to see that there is a resource that can help the young people.
Yes, exactly. In fact, the couple mentioned that in their meeting with Pope Francis, they really got the impression that he was very moved by what the project was aiming to do, but also in learning these dire statistics regarding suicide and suicide attempts amongst teens throughout the world, which, as you're mentioning, John, has really risen since COVID. And so their prayer is that this time and this blessing from the Pope is going to help encourage even more prayer power to counter the culture of death, John.
And if anyone is interested, they can go there. There's a lot of resources and ask for prayers themselves. Pray4teens.org. Sounds like a fabulous resource. Ashley, there's some awful weather going on in the north of Italy. What have you heard?
Yes, absolutely. You know, John, the north has been hit especially hard, even if all of Italy has been barraged with severe rains for the past few weeks. But the north has experienced a lot of flooding as well. I'm sad to say that in the Emilia-Romagna region, at least two people have died. Several are missing. One man drowned when the Savio River burst its banks. And at this point, another man was found dead in Fort Lee, and at least four people have been reported missing. So in the last 24 hours, 900 people have been evacuated from that area. There's about 600 firefighters who are involved in the emergency effort. There's also hundreds of civil protection volunteers who are assisting right now during this need. There's a red alert weather warning that is continuing right now because the rain is still very heavy in the region. And in fact, it's throughout the entire country, as I mentioned. I just was in Tuscany and they were having flash floods on the roads and it was really something. But so with that said, we ask for special prayers for the people of North Italy and especially in the Emilia-Romagna region, John.
Has this affected the actual city of Rome much?
Actually, Rome hasn't been affected too much. Rome has, although we've had some heavy rains, we haven't experienced floods here in the city. So the good news is that in a city like Rome, we actually were experiencing a drought up until now. And so these rains have helped replenish Lake Bracciano, which is where our water reserve is kept. So this is the silver lining of what's happening right now.
And finally, tomorrow is the feast of Pope St. John the First. What is going on there in Italy to celebrate this pontiff's feast?
Well, Pope St. John the First is the patron of Ravenna, and he is especially revered and loved throughout Tuscany. Now, he lived in the 6th century. He's remembered for his role in the church during a very difficult time. This was after the fall of the Western Roman Empire. And despite very difficult circumstances, he was very courageous in his fight for orthodoxy against Arianism. Now, he was pope only for 3 short years, but during that time, he supported orthodoxy despite very intense pressures exerted by the Arian ruler of Italy, that was King Theodoric. And eventually, the king had Pope St. John the First arrested, and due to neglect and poor treatment while he was in prison, he passed away there in 526 AD. Now that's why in iconography in the church, you will see Pope St. John the First always depicted behind bars. Now his body was transported to Rome, and it's said that there were many miracles that occurred along the way. And his remains reached Rome on the 27th of May of that year of 526, and he was then buried in he was later buried in the Basilica of St. Peter. So that's what will happen on his feast day tomorrow. Pilgrims will go and visit the grottos of St. Peter's Basilica and pray there in front of his tomb, his remains there. There will also be novenas of masses that have actually been occurring in special places of devotion like Ravenna and different places in Tuscany. And then his feast kicks off the season of medieval festivals throughout Italy. So this is a time when there will be all kinds of festivals going on where people dress in period costume of the Middle Ages. There's reenactments of jousts, of battles, of weddings. There's games and flag wavers. There's drummers. It's really a fascinating journey back in time. In fact, in Tuscany, There are 15 of these special medieval festivals kicking off now until the end of September. And so this is his feast represents a time of celebration throughout this country as this very courageous Pope is remembered, John.
And this very courageous Pope, St. John the First, was the first of many Pope St. Johns, including, yes, of course, John the 23rd in more recent history. But yes, he was the very first St. John.
He was the first. Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because in order to be called the first, there has to be a second. So that's why we do not call Pope Francis Pope Francis the First, because there's no second. So indeed, as you're pointing out, he is the one that started it all for the Johns. John.
On a personal note, and you can appreciate this, tomorrow is the 18th anniversary of my wife and I getting the papal blessing during our honeymoon from Pope Benedict. John Paul II had just died recently at the time, and he was the new Holy Father, and we were so blessed, and we have this beautiful photo that I have in my office. Just a day you never forget on the 18th, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that was also the birthday of John Paul II.
It is the birthday of JP2. That is such a beautiful story. And to think that it happened on such a special anniversary day. Well, how lovely to have that gift as a way to start off your marriage, that special blessing. But so many blessings on you and your wife as you remember that incredible encounter with Papa.
Well, my dear Ashley, as always, I really appreciate you being with us. You always bring Rome to home to our audience. Grazie, grazie.
Oh, prego, prego. Many blessings on your day.
Thanks so much. Ashley Narona, our Rome correspondent who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app. Just go to Relevant in Rome. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, we're going to be joined by Joe Boland, the Chief Mission Officer for Catholic Extension, to talk about the concern for the poor and the vulnerable. So stay with us as Morning Air continues on this Wednesday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air.
Your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. It's good to be with you on this Wednesday morning in the sixth week of Easter. The Easter season is just flying by. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 14:26. Jesus the Lord says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I told you." Every morning here on Morning Air, we invoke the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the third person of the Holy Trinity. We remember that without the Holy Spirit, we cannot say that Jesus is Lord, as St. Paul teaches us. As Catholics, we must embrace the power of the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, we are virtually blind. As we prepare for Pentecost, let's remember that the Holy Spirit is the secret of sanctity and happiness. And we always pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." And with great confidence, we also pray that short prayer from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. Now, on April 26th in the Vatican, Pope Francis met privately with a delegation of leaders from Catholic Extension, a U.S. Pontifical Society. The Holy Father thanked Catholic Extension for its work of caring for the victims of today's, what he calls, the throwaway culture. Joining us live from Chicago is Joe Boland, the Chief Mission Officer of Catholic Extension, to tell us about the Catholic Church's work among the poor and vulnerable and what exactly it looks like in practice. Joe Boland and his team collaborate closely with the 86 mission dioceses that Catholic Extension supports. Good morning, Joe. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It is always great to be with you.
Good morning, John. It's good to be with you.
Joe, how exciting. Tell us about your recent meeting with the Holy Father and various leaders from Catholic Extension.
It is. It's always an exciting moment. It's always wonderful to be in the Eternal City and to be with our Holy Father, and especially in a moment like that where we have a private moment to talk with him and where he's actually addressing us about our work. And I think the very special thing about it was, you know, we were really there to bring him a group of people who are working here in the United States. They were primarily religious sisters and lay women who we wanted to present to the Holy Father and say, you know, Holy Father, these are the people who are implementing your vision of a poor church for the poor. They're implementing what it looks like, as you say, you know, for the church to be a field hospital out there with the people who are wounded and hurting, and they're with them. And so it was this very powerful moment for us to share with him all these wonderful people who we know are doing the heavy lifting on behalf of the church every day, serving the poor and serving the vulnerable and not turning a blind eye to them. And so it's very powerful to hear the Holy Father say to us, you know, that and to thank these mostly women, and on behalf of Catholic Extension, to say thanks for taking care of these people who are the victims of our throwaway culture. And so we all took that strength from that meeting with him. And I know all of them are back out there in the field as we speak this very day, out back with the poor and the vulnerable, taking care of them, which is exactly who we are as a church and what we do. And it's what it looks like when you put the gospel into practice.
And Joe, the group was about 60 women faith leaders that work with Catholic Extension, along with the president of Catholic Extension, Father Jack Wall, and the chancellor, Cardinal Blaise Supich, the Archbishop of Chicago, all of you on hand there with the Holy Father.
We were, and I was lucky enough to be able to tag along. And of course, you know, everybody's concerned about the Holy Father's health. We had heard that, you know, about some of his recent health struggles. We knew that just a couple of days after our meeting with him, he was getting on a plane to go to Hungary. I mean, the man's got a very, very busy schedule. And he came in with the help of a walker. And when he stood with the assistance of a cane. But I got to tell you, he is—he's humorous. He's quick-witted. He was present to every single one of us there, and he really spent a good amount of time expressing his solidarity with us and the work that is being done in the name of the church through the hands and through the big hearts of these wonderful people who joined us. So. Yeah, again, just such a special moment to be able to give that shot in the arm, if you will, to the church here in the United States, as it represents the people who are working with the poor and the vulnerable of our country.
And the Holy Father, Pope Francis, had a very specific address meant for a Catholic Extension about all the great work that you've been doing in recent years.
He did, and it was part lesson, it was part thank you. And it was really, he said, if we do this work, if we engage in dialogue with people, if we meet people where they're at, if we, again, go out to those who are often the victims of our throwaway culture, the church, he said, will transform our society. And that's exactly what we believe. That's exactly what our mission is at Catholic Extension, is to help build the church, to strengthen it across the country, especially in the poorest regions of our country, with the firm belief that if we do that, we can really transform our society. And every single person that was in the room with us, with the Holy Father that day, was one more bit of evidence of what that looks like. That so often, you know, we can, you know, things will kind of come and go out of our own consciousness about needs that are out there. But the church, when it's firmly planted in these communities, as it's been able to be in our own country, is there as a daily presence to ensure that whatever the issue is, if it's homelessness or if it's, you know, visiting the elderly or supporting trafficked women or supporting Ukrainian refugees or you know, supporting Native Americans who don't have running water on their on reservations, all that work that's being done in the name of the church is possible because the church is present, walking every single day with people. And that's exactly what the Holy Father was encouraging us to continue to do. So again, it's just a beautiful moment for all of us to celebrate.
And Joe, the Holy Father specifically pointed out the great work of Catholic Extension to rebuild the churches in Puerto Rico after those various earthquakes in recent times.
He did, and he has been well aware of our efforts since Hurricane Maria in 2017, in which Catholic Extension is helping build and repair about 1,000 Catholic churches and Catholic schools, which are still very damaged. He has tracked that program very closely. And I think one of the reasons why he is encouraging us to continue forward with that program is he knows that churches are places where mercy happens. And mercy doesn't just happen in the spiritual sense, which is obviously extremely important, but it also happens in the physical sense. And people still look to the church in moments of crisis and catastrophe and natural disaster, you know, for support and aid. And we know that if we can help rebuild the infrastructure, the physical infrastructure of the Catholic Church, it'll be that much more empowered to reach out to people, to save lives, to show mercy, to be that presence in the community. You know, one of the buildings and one of the people who is with us is a leader of a home for abused and neglected children. She is part of our recovery program. I was just there last week with her, and I met a little boy who is in her home for abused and neglected children. He's 3 years old. He came in, he hugged my leg. And afterwards, I asked, what's that little boy's story? And she said, we found him in a garbage can, and he was by himself, and he had long hair and long nails. And now he's been brought into this loving home, you know, through the this great ministry of the Catholic Church, which cares for children that are abused and neglected. And again, realizing that that's the work that's being done every day in the name of the church. It's something that's so powerful and something that the Holy Father knows, and that's why he's pushing us to continue to make sure that the church can be as present as possible everywhere throughout our country.
Joe, time is running out, but I wanted to touch on the one-year anniversary next week of the shootings in Uvalde, Texas, that took the lives of 19 students and two teachers. Can you tell us about the work of Catholic Extension there in that community?
And we had representatives from Uvalde with us, with the Holy Father, and that was a very special moment, specifically Teresian sisters who have been in Uvalde for the past 115 years, and they continue to be there. They're working at Sacred Heart Catholic School, which has been built by Catholic Extension, which has received many of the students and the families who survived that horrible shooting a year ago. So we'll be down there next week, and again, it's another example of the church not abandoning its people. It continues to be present into these communities, doing important work of healing and mercy and outreach. And that's what we see happening in Uvalde.
Joe, as always, I really appreciate you being with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
For more, you can visit CatholicExtension.org. Joe Boland, the Chief Mission Officer at Catholic Extension. And now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Watching the Rain by Joseph Mazzella. It was a summer afternoon a long time ago. I was a little boy watching my favorite rerun on our tiny little television set. All that was about to change, however. Crack, boom, the lightning and thunder sounded. Suddenly, my mom ran into the living room, unhooked the antenna wire, and dropped the metal claws into a glass mason jar by the TV. I started to complain, but knew better. Mom wasn't going to risk lightning hitting our antenna, running through the wire, and blowing up our only TV set. There was no way she was going to let me go outside and play either. So I settled into my chair and reread a book for the 10th time while she placed empty coffee cans under the leaks in the roof my dad hadn't had a chance to fix yet. Later, after the lightning and thunder had passed and only a gentle rain remained, I saw my mom walk out to our back porch, sit down on our old porch swing, and watch the rain. She loved watching it water the flowers, forests, and gardens. She enjoyed seeing it swell the river down the hill from our house. She knew it would be providing water to drink and wash and clean and live. She told me all this many times, too, but my young mind was too selfish then to take it all in. All I knew was that the rainstorms meant no TV and no playing outside. This time, though, I took the time to watch it fall. I saw the peace on my mom's face as she watched as well. Quietly, I walked out on the back porch and sat down next to her. We didn't say a word. We just watched the rain water the world. We just listened to the tap-tapping music on our roof. We just breathed in the sweetness that it brought to the air. I couldn't explain why then, but I was so happy just to be there with my mom. I was happy it was raining, too. The next time it rains, turn off your TV, computer, and phone. Take someone you love by the hand and walk out to your porch and just watch the rain. I guarantee it'll bring you closer to this world you live in, closer to the loving God who created it, and closer to the one sitting next to you. May the rains of this life always water your soul and help your love to grow. Leviticus 26:4. Then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour, our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tyone, the pastor at St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, will join us to discuss sacramentals. What exactly are sacramentals? And he'll tell us ways to incorporate them into your life. And personal success coach Dave Duran will tell us the five levels of leadership talent. So stay with us. We are just warming up. There's much more to come on this Wednesday edition of Morning Air.